MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Folks, my next guest is an Emmy-nominated actress who now stars in the new CBS show, Doubt.
Let's go drink. I can't. Isaiah thinks Sadie's better than me. I need to prove him wrong.
He just thought a fresh pair of eyes could help.
Since when have I needed help?
Why are you taking this personally?
Instead of psychoanalyzing me, let's try to figure out how we can make a jury see Lester's crazy.
20 years of psychiatric records?
They don't buy it. They hear how he's this violent schizophrenic, and all they see is a guy taking a nap. His meds make him sleepy.
So take him off.
Unmedicated, he's completely unpredictable.
If I'm a juror, I need to see this isn't some calculated thing. I need to hear the ranting.
Barking.
Barking.
He barks when he's excited.
Please welcome Laverne Cox. That is also a beautiful dress.
Thank you. It's lovely to finally meet you, Stephen.
Lovely to meet you, too.
I'm part of the CBS family now.
Welcome.
So that means we're in the same family. Did you ever imagine that a girl like me would be in your family?
Well, I'll show you my dream journal someday.
Is there a drawing of me?
I don't need one because here you are. Speaking of dream journals, mm-hmm. This is a fan. May I show this photo?
Yes.
Okay, all right. This was you last night with Beyonce at the Grammys. Are you doing okay? Are you going to be all right?
Stephen, I met the Queen. I met the Queen, and you know, I've often imagined this day. I've dreamed of the day. It was actually happened at night at the Grammys last night. And I thought, you know, the funny thing is when I was getting ready yesterday, I was like, oh my God, if I meet Beyonce tonight, I'm gonna start crying. And I started crying, thinking about it in my apartment. I was like, alone in my apartment, just in tears. And the interesting thing about when you meet the Queen, a calm comes over you. I swear to God, this happened.
I'm sure she's very nice.
I was a calm came over me, and I did not cry. I was strangely calm. I walked up to her. She passed me in the aisle, and then the commercial break came, and I was like, "This is my chance." And I get up, and I'm like, "Okay, Trace, my girlfriend Trace is with me. I'm gonna go." So I go, and she's talking to some folks, and she's seated, and she's beautifully pregnant now. And I kind of peek over and I smile at her. And she sees me, and her face lights up. And the moment she sees me, she's like, "Help me up, help me up." Beyonce got up. She got up for me. Beyonce got up for me. And she had heard from a lot of her people that I'm a huge fan. She actually sent me flowers. I did a Destiny's Child song for Lip Sync Battle, this wonderful show on Spike. Long story short, Beyonce was incredible. She was so sweet, and I was very calm. I got back to my seat, and I cried, but I did not cry when I met her.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you
so
much.
That is a fantastic story.
Thank you.
Well, you were there for the whole night. You must be exhausted. You red-eyed back to the East Coast?
I flew back on a red-eye, yes, and I did sleep most of the time, but I'm completely exhausted now. But all for you, Stephen.
You look fantastic.
All
and when
for
I do the red eye, my face looks like a catcher's mitt the next day.
I have an amazing hair and makeup team. Shout out to Deja, who did my makeup, Deja Smith, and Ursula did my hair. So I have a really good team. I wish I could say that I woke up like this, but unfortunately.
Well, last night when you were introducing Lady Gaga and Metallica, you gave the audience an assignment, both there
yes.
and at home. You said, everyone Google Gavin Grimm. Who is Gavin Grimm and why should we Google him?
Gavin Grimm is a 17-year-old young man from Gloucester, Virginia, and he is going to the Supreme Court March 28th, and it will be the first time that the Supreme Court is hearing a case on transgender rights. Gavin Grimm had to sue the Board of Education in Gloucester to be able to use the boys' bathroom as all the other boys in his school are able to because he is transgender, and they enacted a law saying that he couldn't do that. And so Gavin had to go to a bathroom way off, you know, that was a very much like Hidden Figures, that moment woman in Hidden Figures with Taraji when she has to walk like 45 minutes to a different bathroom. It's very much like that. And so I felt like people weren't talking enough about this case, and this is the first time the Supreme Court is hearing a case about trans rights. And if we lose this, our rights could be set back for a really long time. And like, and I think what people need to know is what my friend Chase Strangio says from the ACLU is that these anti-bathroom, anti-trans bathroom bills are not really about bathrooms. They're about whether or not trans people have the right to exist in public space. Because if we can't use public bathrooms, we can't go to schools, we can't work, we can't go to healthcare facilities. So it's really about us having a right to exist in public space. And I exist and I have a right to exist in public space, right?
CBS is a public space. CBS is a very
so everyone, please stand with Gavin Grimm, support him. He's going to the Supreme Court March 28th, and we have to continue to elevate the stories of trans people. That's why I'm so excited about my new show, Doubt, and you showed a clip of, because that's a great way to begin to change the narrative, because there's a narrative about trans people that is being perpetrated that is not really who we are.
Your character is also a trans woman.
Yes, she is. She's an attorney. Doubt premieres Wednesday night at 10 p.m. right here on CBS.
Beat me to the punch. Now, your character, Sophia Brissett, was on the other side of the law in Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
You think your new character, what's your new character's name?
Cameron Worth.
Could Cameron Worth get Sophia off the hook? Could she get her out?
So Cameron's a defense attorney, and I believe she could, because Cameron's superpower, according to my showrunners, is that she has a capacity to convey empathy, deep empathy, to a jury and to a judge for the clients that she represents. So I do believe that she would be able to make a jury understand why Sophia stole those identities and those credit cards to fund her transition, and she would be able to get her off, get her acquitted.
Either one, darling. Either one. It was lovely to meet you. Thank you for being
here. Lovely to meet you as well.
Doubt premieres this Wednesday at 10 p.m. on CBS. Laverne Cox, everybody.
Coming up, Jim Parsons.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
To the Late Show. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an Emmy award-winning actor you know as the non-young version of Sheldon from the Big Bang 30. Please welcome Jim Parsons.
What did you just call it?
I called your show
The Big
Bang. I called your show The Big Bang 30.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's about how long we've been doing it.
Well, yeah, well, final season finale Thursday.
Thursday.
Not giving anything away here by saying you're getting married.
Wedding
on the
bells are charming. Yes, yes. Not since
Sheldon
Luke and
Amy.
Laura on General Hospital have we had a bigger wedding. No. Is anybody in here old enough to have watched Luke and Laura get married? Really?
Buddy, summer of 1979?
80?
80, summer 79? Of 1980?
Is that what it was?
Absolutely.
Elizabeth Taylor was there?
Sure.
You remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not where we thought this interview was going, did we? Yeah. I've steered us into a ditch. Okay, good. Here we are.
But you yourself, last time you were here, you had just gotten
married. I had just gotten
a ditch.
Yes, that's right.
To your husband,
official.
Todd.
That's right.
So you're a year in. That's
we're almost
time.
A year in. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
What?
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
I'm a fan of being married.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it even more than I thought.
Any milestones of the first year we need to know about?
No, no. I would say the only weird hitch has been an occupational hazard, which is this. Which is the ring. Which
yeah.
has to come off for a lot of roles.
Oh, because
and it sits in a dressing room.
So
well, he will be soon,
off.
And I'm hoping I get to wear this for it.
Yeah.
But I've left it in a dressing room more than once.
Oh my god!
The one that I returned to. It's not like they lock it up and never go back. Obviously, but the first time it happened, Todd was unamused.
I can imagine.
I mean, I can only imagine what that seemed to say to somebody who doesn't go to work and take off their clothes and jewelry as soon as they get there. But he's gotten used to it now, and I've gotten better about keeping it. Just last week, I left it in the theater, so.
Do you have to sort of like keep twisting it like a dog with a new collar or
something?
That's how
I knew it was gone, because I got home and was like, ah, you know.
I had the same thing happen.
With your ring?
It was shortly after I got married. By the month after I got married, I booked a commercial or something like that. And the commercial, they said, hey, we don't think this guy's married. Would you take the ring off? I said, sure. Put it in an envelope, put it in the locker gave me. Went home. It was a Friday. And I'm like, Gookie!
No.
And I called and they said, yeah, it's all locked up. You can get it Monday.
No.
So I spent the weekend like this with one hand in my
pocket.
You
didn't let her know?
No. This is how she's finding out right now.
Oh, God.
25 years later.
I'll be honest with
terrified.
You.
I was terrified.
I'm sure it was. But see... This is one of the, other than just sheer love and devotion, this is one of the reasons I can't live with any level of deceit. It makes me sick, that whole trying not to hide something like that from the person that you're supposed to be, or that you are.
I didn't lie.
Intimate, I mean, you know.
I didn't lie.
No, you didn't, but boy, you covered. Okay.
I could be president of the
United We know what you're
States.
Made of. That's right. That's right, you could.
Boy, did I cover. Rudy out there for me and everything.
Oh my God.
Well, okay. Well, now you're back on Broadway after 3 years.
I am.
You've got a new show. It's at the Booth Theater. It's The Boys in the Band.
New production of a very
the
old
Boys
show. Yeah.
Originally, I got a question about
50.
This. I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm confused about three things.
Oh God.
It's The Boys in the Band.
Yes.
Okay. You're not boys. You're clearly men.
Yeah.
There is no band.
No.
And take a look at this. There are no turtlenecks in this play. No one wears black turtlenecks in this play. This is false advertising.
I
thought I was going to go in and see, like, some sort of German expressionist performance.
No, there's no turtlenecks in the play. Okay, first off, The Boys in the Band is, I think, a reference to a line in a Judy Garland film. I think it's Judy Garland, where the guy says to her, don't be nervous, just go in there and sing like you did for The Boys in the Band when he saw... I don't really understand this, so... There's that.
Yeah.
The turtlenecks are because this is the 50th anniversary production of this play, which was first done in 1968 when it was very, very groundbreaking. I mean, this was the first kind of insight into what gay life may look like for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, it all takes place at a birthday party for one of the main characters played by Zach Quinto. And... hits the fan during the evening, but also in the process, you get a lot of the way these men talk to each other and relate to each other and the way they feel about the world comes out. And
In private, because their sexuality had to be hidden
In the world at the time.
Mm-hmm. This is set in 1968. It's not updated. It's still set in that period of time.
Yes, but we don't kind of hit over the head with that. You don't really need to, we find, but yes, in general, it still is. It's not updated. What was my point? The turtlenecks. So, I mean, really, the questions he's asked, I'm like, how can I keep them straight? This was a copy of the original, one of the original very popular publicity stills done for the original guys.
All right.
Do you have any more questions? I don't know where else to go.
Hold on, let me see.
Please flip through.
And so is there a Lexus in any of the...
No. Right. And nor do I drive one in real life.
Well, as you said, it was written in 1968.
Yeah.
Which struck you more performing this? Uh-huh. How much has changed or how many things have stayed the same?
At the onset, I would say that how much has changed. You know, the first time I ever read this play was recently when they discussed bringing it back and would I want to be a part of it. And I read it and I had never seen it and I'd never read it. And I had many feelings about it, but the initial big one was, what is this? Because there's so much frustration in these guys, deservedly so, because of the product at the time that they were in. And there are many things about that that seem like, oh, foreign, you know, how fortunate that they seem so foreign. But the more we've worked on it and the more we've dealt with it and the more we've participated in the conversations of the play, you're like, there's a lot of differences, but there's so much similarity. And even on the very first day of rehearsal, this may sound strange, but to be in a room filled with nothing but 8 other gay actors, it was tonally different immediately. And there was a certain parlance, a way of talking with each other immediately that, while not exactly the same as that, was its own language and was its own way of being that we all fell into immediately with each other. And I don't know what that is. I guess that's the band, and that's, you know, in one way of looking at it. But so I don't know. I think that's why it's really fun to do this right now. I think especially right now, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 steps back seems to be the way a lot of progress goes. And
this doesn't need updating. I mean, this specifically doesn't need updating, depending on where you are in the country.
Yeah. Absolutely,
or the world.
Not.
Yeah.
It's very true. Well, you remember that when you know the movie Love, Simon that just came out?
No.
I don't want to lie to you. Oh, you don't.
About the gay guy
in high school who came out.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah.
Wasn't it called Love, Simon?
It is.
Anyone?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Well, but my point is there. I read a couple of articles that were essentially saying I loved it, by the way. But there were a couple of articles that were like, it's too late. And I thought, well,
what do you mean too late?
That we were beyond this now, the kind of tale of coming out that this was. Mm-hmm. And I thought, maybe if you're a 30-something-year-old writer living in New York or L.A., it may be like, I don't need to see this, mm-hmm. obviously. But I don't know. I think there are people in many other places that, yes, you do still need to see it. Never mind the fact, a gay rom-com, it's too late. Well, tell that to When Harry Met Sally, you know, which was brilliant. But I'm saying, how many straight rom-coms do we need? When is it too late for them, you know? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with them. They're fine. They're lovely.
Sure.
And I love When Harry Met Sally. I don't know. You know
How
what
about,
I'm saying,
I
though?
It's time for When Mary Met Sally.
Well, exactly. Let me get sick of too many gay rom-coms then. Thank you very much. Bring it on. We'll see.
Well, so you're back on Broadway, as I said, for the first time in 3 years. What's it like to be back on the Great White Way?
Oh, it's heaven. It's so much fun. There's not a more athletic experience as an actor.
What do you mean athletic?
Well, you sort of feel it even out here, I would imagine, a bit. Like, your whole body's on display. You're telling a story when you're in front of a live audience like this and just with everything and
sure.
No camera. Well, cameras do cut it off. I can see the thing right now. Nobody sees my feet. There's my foot. But there's just something like, I always say, it's like I was terrible at sports. I didn't even play sports. I hated them. I was scared to death. I was scared of the ball. But I am not scared on stage, you know. I was scared of getting hurt. Physically, but on stage, for whatever reason, I'm not scared of getting hurt. I understand how important it is to tell the story. In the same way that somebody who's sporty understands how important it is to score and how important it is to win the game. I couldn't have given a I do care about telling a story, though. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
And I did not have caffeine before this appearance, and I've never talked faster in my life.
You fit in a lot of interviews that way.
Thank you.
Jim, thank you for
thank
being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.